Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the How to Stay and Survive the Coronavirus Plague Briefing Podcast, episode number 127. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. The watchword and the keyword since the beginning of this briefing is repent. And primarily that word is to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should repent, for the Bible tells us in our situation, we ought to humble ourselves, we ought to pray, we ought to seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Repent and get back to Jesus Christ, our first love, and to our first works. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his suffering, his bleeding, his death on the cross for our sins, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, his burial and his resurrection. And we praise you and we thank you for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit working on us and in us who are believers, and working on those who are not believers. Thank you for reminding us today from your holy word that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace, and for salvation full and free through Jesus Christ, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings you've bestowed upon us. Lord, too numerous to even try to name, even in this short life that you've given to us, days and days, hours and hours, minutes and minutes of blessings you bestowed upon us, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, and life, financial and material protection and provision blessings that you have bestowed upon each of us down through the years. And Holy Father God, thank you for the privilege and the peace and the power and the purpose of prayer. For Jesus Christ's sake, please hear and answer our prayers. And Lord, we individually and collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Lord God in heaven, help us to be real about it, or not even deal with it at all. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us afresh and anew today, and fill us all with who are saved with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, have your Holy Ghost to not give sinners rest in these parts, in this region, in this city, in this county, in this state, and across the country and around the globe until they come to know you as Savior. Help them to hear the gospel and to understand it and to get saved. We also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness out of, Lord, the people here who have that problem, and out of the people out there who have that problem. Cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, the demonic spirits of betrayal, treachery, rebelliousness, distraction, and hindrance from this time and from all other times throughout this day. Help us all who are truly saved and want things to go smoothly to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And Holy Father God, thank you for the good that was done during the break. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength and mind to go head on with this briefing today. And Holy Father God, have the power of your Holy Ghost to fall and speak to the hearts of people here and out there all around the world. Deliver us today from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for yesterday and all of the yesterdays and all of the blessings you've bestowed upon us. And we pray that you would save those who are lost under the sound of my voice, revive those who are saved. We pray for the healing of the sick, of whatever they might be sick of. And Lord, here and out there, all over the world, and Lord, we pray for the comfort of the grieving, and we pray that you would comfort them because only you can. Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort. And Holy Father God, have by your Holy Ghost power and your power and leadership to draw all of the people to this time and to this particular podcast and video as you see fit. And we pray that millions would come to know your Savior. Millions would be instructed, your holy name glorified, in Jesus Christ lifted up. We pray, Lord, that you would deliver each and every one of us, Lord, from ourselves, and help us to humble ourselves, pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, repent, and get back to you, our first love, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Break the band of wickedness, evil, and sin in all of our hearts and minds and lives, souls, and spirits, and help all of us to forsake the besetting sins and the weights. Your grace is amazing. And Lord, we pray today that you deliver each and every one of us from all of our spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, family, financial, material, food crisis issues, housing crisis issues due to the plague pandemic, all cares and worries and anxieties. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding and your joy unspeakable. Deliver us also from all of our tribulations and troubles while we are still, and by your grace, help us all to still be cheerful no matter what we're going through. Deliver us, Lord, from all of our temptations and testings and tensions and trials. Deliver us, Holy Father God, from all care, worry, and anxiety. Fill us with your peace and joy. Deliver us from all of our distresses and our afflictions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would pave the way for us and open up doors for us that no man can shut. I pray that for each and every person under the sound of my voice. And Holy Father, even Father God, even those who are not. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would protect our family and all other Christian families particularly, but all other people as well, from ourselves and from our flesh and from the devil. Lord, if we are honest, most of the pain and problems that are in our lives, we have caused them ourselves, assisted by the devil. Protect us, Lord, from the demons of hell and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people on the job. Lord, break all generational curses off of the hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and lives of people who just cannot see afar off. They cannot envision you working mightily in their lives and working miracles for them and taking them to higher heights and deeper depths. And Lord, because of the demonic activity in their lives, they cannot get past the sin and foolishness in their lives that holds them back. They cannot even enjoy what you're trying to do for them because of that curse, that generational curse. Lord, set these people free. Lord, in the words of your servant John Maxwell, help them to take the lid off of their heads and the blinders off of their eyes, and help them, Lord, to move forward in life with you. For without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray that you'll grant me your strength, your grace, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do this briefing effectively for your glory, praise, and honor. And of course, Lord, I pray that you'll give me your strength and your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, as you know, in these 127 briefings that God has led me to deliver during this time, to help people, we always honor God by starting out with His Word. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now, ladies and gentlemen, to break it down for you with authority, as you know, I'm big on that. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, "Zephaniah urged the people gather together, perhaps to come collectively to repent as a nation, repeating the command stressed the urgency of his appeal. The words, "O shameful nation," according to the scholars at Dallas Theological Seminary, are literally, "O nation not shamed." You're not shamed because of your wickedness and your sins. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you get in such a state where you're not ashamed anymore of the evil that you do, and you just do it blatantly, and you lie about it, and you get mad because people don't believe your lie, and you have an "oh, I don't care" attitude about the evil that you've done, you're in a very dangerous place with God. And I believe there are many people in the church and in America in that state. Judah, because of her sin, was without shame. Her face was not blushing or pale with embarrassment. Sin had hardened her sensitivity to sin. The urgency of the prophet's summons is seen in this verse. The three phrases introduced by the word "before" emphasize the point. If the nation did not repent, it would soon be too late. And I believe that's where we are in America today. And it's primarily up to Christians, the church. If the church does not repent, America is doomed, because the church will not be in a position to help America to get saved and repent. The nation could prevent the impending judgment if their repentance, like that of Nineveh's, were immediate. Immediate, and that's what we need right now. Immediate repentance. We need to do away with all of the happy talk and the grandstanding and the lying and the dishonesty and the foolishness. And we need repentance now. I'm reminded of a website that I saw called Democracy Now. Maybe somebody ought to start a website called Repentance Now. That's what we need. Repentance. And we all know it. Some of you are in families. You know, you got people in your family, including yourself, that you have not repented yet under all of this plague. God has taken away all of the wonderful blessings, for the most part, that we have enjoyed in the American church and the American world. No church has been more blessed than the American church in the history of the world. No country has been more blessed than America. And we have enjoyed the freedoms to go where we please, group up with who we please, get with who we please, and you can continue to try, but you can easily die of it today as well because of this plague. And by the way, this is a very light plague. I hope you understand that. I've been telling you this all along. This is a very light plague. This is terrible for terrible, but this is a light plague. God, in mercy, had this plague to start. This is a plague that you can as the woman who knew Elisha, you can get away from if you want to. That's right. You can run away from this one, but there are plagues you can't run from. The Bible talks about how that people are going to run to the rocks and to the mountains and hills and cry, "Fall on us," because of the wrath of God. That's got to be frightening when you got to run into caves to try to protect yourself from the wrath of God. Now, God is not pleased. God is angry with the church primarily and all of her foolishness. All of her foolishness, her arrogancy, her pride, her stubbornness, her twisting up his word to let go on in the church abominations such as divorce and remarriage, abortion in the church, yet being hypocrites marching against abortion, and also the abomination of homosexuality. And the reason why we have this mess on our hands is not because of the homosexuals or the government. The church has allowed it. The chief Pharisees in our evangelical circles, black and white, they have allowed it, and the blood is dripping from their fingers. And they know it. But they made the deals in the back rooms of the White House and senators' offices. They did the wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah, we'll let you go with that, but y'all need to do this on this end. And it's been a total mess. A total mess. And now we're in a mess. And it's getting ready to get worse, not better. We're not turning the corner. As President Trump says, we're turning a corner, right? We're turning a corner, in the words of one man, into a tsunami. That's the corner we're turning into. You understand me? And I've been telling you all along, the president is now a politician, whether he calls himself one or not. You don't need to follow what he's saying about this. He's got his mind someplace else. And this is too big for him. The one right thing that he said all along, and I think he got it from me, this is a plague. And his mentality is, puny men can't stop a plague. So that's how he sees it. And so you need not follow him. You need to do what you need to do to protect your family if you want to survive this plague without pain and death. I can handle death all right, but I'm not interested in pain. My wife will tell you, I don't like pain at all. I'll take whatever medication you've got to kill the pain. And that's a fact. You say, "You're a big old burly man, why can't you take any pain?" Because I don't like pain at all. Not at all. I mean, so I don't even want to go through that. So I have done what I needed to do to, by the grace of God, as God has led me, to keep me out of that deathbed. Be that as it may, the words and that day sweeps on the chaff like chaff function as a parenthesis to strengthen the first of the three clauses. Imminent repentance was imperative, and that's what is imperative today. Imminent repentance is what God wants. Not tomorrow, not when the plague is over, By the way, the plague is not going to end until we truly repent. And I said at the beginning of this plague that we're not in a repenting mood in the church. We're so set in our evil ways that we don't want to repent. And some of us are so arrogant and proud, we think our theology is right, that God would never chastise the church like this. You have not read your Bible. Jesus Christ said, you're neither warm nor hot, you're lukewarm. So I want to spew you out of my mouth. And I believe God has spewed the church out of his mouth. I'm not talking about the remnant and God's 7,000. There are still a few faithful ones. But largely speaking, I believe that Jesus Christ has spewed the American church out of his mouth. You know God is nobody to play with. You people know this deep down, that Jesus is nobody to play with, but you thought you can play with them. And he does not play like that. He does not play at all. And you know better. Because the day of God's wrath was rapidly approaching, like light chaff driven forcefully by the wind. The prophet urged those who already know the Lord, as evidenced by their humble obedience. See, people who truly know the Lord, they respond with humble, meek obedience to him. Oh, yes. And when they're chastised by the Lord, they respond humbly and meekly, and they apologize. They confess their sins. They repent. Only proud, lost, devilish people, arrogant people, don't respond that way. To continue steadfast, he says, in their walk with him. They were commanded to strive for three things: the Lord, righteousness, and humility. The last two result from following the Lord. If the remnant would seek the Lord, then they would be sheltered from the impending doom of God's anger, though many died in the Babylonian invasions. Others were spared, and some were exiled to Babylon. God protected his obedient, faithful remnant. And God is doing that today, by the way. Now, normally when we share from Leonard Ravenhill, it normally does not dovetail with what we just dealt with. But for some reason, this one does. Leonard Ravenhill said, "Preacher, brethren, this is the time to blush, that we have no shame, the time to weep for our lack of tears, the time to bend low, that we have lost the humble touch of servants, the time to groan that we have no burden, the time to be angry with ourselves, that we have no anger over the devil's monopoly. In this end time hour, the time to chastise ourselves, that the world can so easily get along with us and not attempt to chastise us." My, my, my. When you hear a preacher say my, 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 that means that's very powerful. That's beyond words. All right, briefing news time. We have some sad news, some tragic news, of course. According to Yahoo News, Dr. John MacArthur's Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, California, has seen 3 confirmed cases of the coronavirus plague, according to the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. As you know, Dr. John MacArthur, a man that we love and respect, and I still use some of his quotes in my sermons, and will continue to do so because he's been an excellent Bible teacher down through the years. I go back some 40 years listening to Dr. John MacArthur, and he's not only in my mind a pastor, he's a prophet himself. And as you know, he has for some reason gotten on this bandwagon about meeting at the church building instead of meeting online. And I have warned the church about this foolishness, and because you can meet online, I believe that you ought to go to church every day in this day and time. I believe that you ought to go to church every time the pastor is preaching, but not to the building, not now, not with this plague pandemic. You're not showing faith, you're showing foolishness, because what good is all of that if you can't, you're laid up in the hospital and you can't even go to the church? And so and as I told you, I do believe this is an age matter. Now, I'm sure that Dr. MacArthur has what he believes are his biblical reasons, but there is a misunderstanding in terms. We can meet online. We can come together online. We can avoid forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because we have a way of doing it online in such a way where everybody can be there, everybody can see each other, everybody can talk to each other, everybody can hear the preacher. If Dr. Field can do it, and Dr. MacArthur can do it. If the NFL does not want people in the crowds, and they do their thing, the preacher can do his thing from where he is. His job is, in a plague pandemic, is not to be trying to gather people together, risking his own life and his family. His job is to preach the word in season and out of season. And thank God we have a way today to do that live, where everybody can participate and be there, and on demand as well. And I believe this is a matter of age, and let me explain to you, I've already shared this with you, because I know of another 80 plus year old pastor who does not understand this. I understand it. I understand why they don't go along with it. But if you're 60 and under, you understand that meeting online is just as powerful, if not more powerful, than meeting in person. That has been shown and that has been proven, to the point that no one should be risking somebody's life to go to a building. That is unnecessary. It's unnecessary, people. And nobody loves Dr. John MacArthur more than me. I when there was a controversy brewing, trying to pit Dr. MacArthur against Young Buck Andy Stanley, I said, first of all, Andy Stanley's name should not even be beside Dr. John MacArthur's name. It should not even be said in the same breath. However, I agreed with Andy Stanley on this one point. I disagree with him on everything else. I agree with Dr. John MacArthur on everything else but this. I believe this is a technology issue and an age issue. Dr. John MacArthur does not want this. He does not want to participate in that kind of thing. He does not believe in the power of it, as does a pastor my age and Stanley's age and so forth. He does not believe it can be just as effective. God can make it just as effective, and God has done so to the point some churches are going to stay this way, because there's something powerful about having church with your church in your home. I can't hear nobody say amen out there. And I'm saying that rhetorically. This is a briefing. Okay. This is not a church service. Okay, so let me explain to you what I'm talking about. My children, for years, they had no problem with cordless internet. No problem. They accepted it right out the hatch. No problem whatsoever. I refuse to believe in it. You understand? I firmly believe you needed to have a cord somewhere. You got to be hooked up to something. You understand what I'm saying, people? Why? Because of my age. I just could not believe you can have something so powerful as the internet going through the air like that. So it was years before I accepted that. Years. It was years before I accepted that a laptop was just as powerful as a desktop, and you can use it in the same way. Okay? Why? Because of my age. They believed in it and went with it and thought I was crazy. And that's what's going on, people. Dr. John MacArthur is in his 80s. There's no way he's going to get a hold of this. Even though God has blessed him, you say, well, he's preached on the radio for years. Yes, radio and what we got going on today is totally different. Okay? So, I mean, in his mind, that's radio is old-fashioned to him. That's good stuff. Okay? But all of this other stuff, and he has... He has the staff and he has the money to do it. I have another pastor friend who's 80, in his 80s. He just rejects it. And I don't even talk with him about it. Because I know he's not going to get it. And so if that's what they want to do, they go ahead on and do that. However, you're not only risking people's lives, you're risking their quality of life. See, this is the problem. You can't make this into these three people who are sick into some kind of martyrdom, which they're going to try to do. No, this is foolishness, people. Do you hear me? This is foolishness. Because you are causing people to go out to a building because they love you and they follow you, risking their lives, but more, to me, more importantly, risking their quality of life and risking them having to go to the hospital and go through hellacious experiences to try to save your life. And I call on my... dear great man of God, one of the greatest men of God in the history of America. I call on Dr. John MacArthur to stand down again. Also, according to The Independent, several employees at Robert Morris's The Gateway Church a mega church in South Lake, Texas, a great church, tested positive for the coronavirus plague as well. According to the AP, Pope Francis has been warned of potential exposure to the coronavirus plague after meeting with Archbishop Adolfo Tito Yolanda, the Vatican's ambassador to Australia, who was infected. According to WABI News, three people have been hospitalized with the coronavirus, and over 50 others have contracted the coronavirus plague after a fellowship event at Brooks Pentecostal Church in Waldo County, Maine. I'm sharing this with you people because you need to go to church, but you do not need to go to the church building. I know we as Americans, we feel like we're invincible. I know that. We all do. Until we get it. Ask Governor Chris Christie. Ask anybody who has gotten it. According to the New York Daily News, at least three deaths and 82 cases have been linked to a coronavirus outbreak at a week of events at the United House of Prayer for All People in Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, it's not just about dying. I can handle the death part if it would go straight to death. But this trying to catch your breath, and it feels like glass is cutting you throughout your whole chest area. I can do without that. You understand? It's about the quality of life. I can do without being in a hospital on a ventilator, which you already know is a death sentence. You understand? Taking different kinds of drugs that people never heard of before. Being around other people who are dying the same way. I can do without that. I'd rather be home and in my bed than going through that. That's what I'm trying to help you to avoid, people. It's not just dying. We as Christians, if you're born again, you ought to, you know, you're cool with death. That's not the issue. You ought not be interested in dying early. Do like the woman that Elisha advised. Okay, God has issued a plague. You need to go someplace else and get away from this and survive this. And then you can come back and get your stuff. That's what she did. She left and went someplace else where the plague was not. And then later on, she came back and got her stuff. She survived it, okay? If you're not interested in surviving it, then you go ahead on and commit. You're basically committing suicide going out here into the church setting and job setting and trying to believe that you're not going to get it because you're super spiritual. That's ridiculous, people. There's a thin line between faith and foolishness. According to the Union Leader News, Gate City Church in Nashua, New Hampshire, that originally reported 9 positive cases of the coronavirus plague, has since reached a total of 39. According to the Mall Tribune News, Joy Church in Medford, Oregon, has canceled in-person services after an outbreak of 18 coronavirus causes. And nobody's making this up, people. This is happening across the country. You have the happy talk politicians and the happy talk pastors who don't want to tell you this. And the happy talk owners of businesses who don't want to tell you this. They want you to go ahead on to work, go ahead on to church, go ahead on to school and so forth and so on, and just act like this is not out there, but it is. This is a plague, people. You don't want to get caught in the plague. You wouldn't even go out into a storm, a hurricane, would you? This is a hurricane, a slow-moving hurricane. Would you go out into a hurricane? No, you wouldn't. So stay home. And I'll help you. You say, well, I'm getting ready to lose my house. I'll help you that. I'll help you with that in a minute. You're going to have to downsize. You're going to have to stop living high on the hog. You're going to have to stop living on Pork Chop Hill in your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. And you know that most of us understand that what we do have, we have too much. We don't need it all anyway. According to CNN, West Virginia Governor Jim Justice said on Monday that at least 18 active coronavirus outbreaks were traced to church services in the state. According to the Detroit News, Michigan officials have stated that uh, 18 of the state's ongoing outbreaks have been linked to religious gatherings. According to ABC News, 14 people have tested positive for the coronavirus after attending services at the Assembly of God Church in Brighton, Michigan. According to The Hill, Alabama Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth tested positive for the coronavirus plague after being notified that a member of his Sunday school church group had acquired the coronavirus plague. According to CNBC, the U.S. reported more than 71,600 new coronavirus cases on yesterday in one day as new infections near record highs and hospitalizations rise, and so do deaths. According to Reuters, the leader of the World Health Organization's Tedros said the world is now at a critical juncture, and I want you to hear this, in the coronavirus pandemic plague, and some countries are on a dangerous path facing the prospect of health services collapsing under the strain. According to the Bharat Express, coronavirus patients are pushing U.S. hospitals to the brink. At least 14 states saw more people hospitalized with the virus on any day last week than on any other day in the pandemic. According to the COVID Tracking Project, 7 more states are nearing their peaks. According to the Wall Street Journal, Rocky Mountain states are emerging as the new coronavirus hotspots. Cases are surging and hospital beds are filling up in Utah, Montana, Wyoming, and beyond. According to CBS News, El Paso funeral homes are preparing refrigerated units to house bodies as the coronavirus cases soar, according to Reuters. Daily coronavirus cases in Europe doubled in 10 days with a report of 200,000 daily cases for the first time. Now with that, ladies and gentlemen, some of you are facing foreclosure because the big GUV that you were trusting in over the past 7-8 months, and I told you not to do so, that you need to trust in the big G-O-D, God, is playing games with you. That's what the government, sad to say, does. This is a big political game that they're playing. And it's sad. And so some of you are facing eviction. Some of you have been evicted. Some of you are facing foreclosures. And certainly, if you're still in your house, some of you are facing tens of thousands of dollars of back rent and house payments. And they're going to want that money. All of this is written solid in the law, because investors are involved in your mortgage, and these people have to be paid, and the landlord has to be paid, because whoever owns the property, either the landlord or somebody above him, they've got to have their money, and they will legally get their money, or there will be a problem with your housing. So all of these moratoriums and all of these stays are going to be going away, and they're going away quickly. And if the government ever does something again, which I doubt, it will be after January the 20th. And then that would take some time. And that's too long, and that's too late. So you need to make some changes. Don't depend on the big GUV. You need to depend upon the big G-O-D, God, and trust in Him, pray to Him, listen to wise counsel, and make some moves that will make things easier on you and your family to survive. You may have to move, as the a woman associated with the prophet Elijah, who he helped, you might have to move to the land of the Philistines to survive, if you will. You may have to go out into the country somewhere. Maybe your family has some old land out in the country. You never thought it'd be worth anything. You might want to move something out there and live in it. So here are some alternative housing things. But let me read about Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And by the way, this plague may last 7 years or longer. Don't expect this to go away anytime soon. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years, until the plague, that is, was over. So the first alternative is you can buy off-grid housing from unitedcountry.com, providing you sell your house, get some equity, I'm sure, and providing you have a little savings somewhere. 401k, you're going to have to move all that out. IRA, all that, you got to claim all that, get it all, and then buy your house cash. just a little small little place that you can pay for cash. I'm encouraging all of you, if by any means necessary you buy something cash, because this is going to be a while, because we in the church have refused to repent of our sins before God, and God is not pleased, Jesus is not pleased. And you need to do that. You can go to United Country, unitedcountry.com. United Country has been helping Americans find homes, ranches, farms, hunting land for sale, and recreational lands for sale for more than 90 years. Your second alternative, you can buy a mobile home from TitanFactoryDirect.com. When I say buy, I mean buy. You know, some of you are able to do this by getting the equity from selling your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. I know that's your dream, that's your vision, but when circumstances change, you need to change. Maybe one day things might work out and you can go back to your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. But right now, you need to sell it before they kick you out of it. Titan prides itself on offering you a wide range of manufactured homes with new home floor plans from industry-leading manufacturers. Your third alternative is you can find motorhomes and RVs at RVUniverse.com. RVUniverse.com is the quick and easy online destination for finding, buying, and selling new and used recreational vehicles. And there are some brands that are well built, and they allow you the ability to be able to go anywhere you want to in the country, find you some nice little country town somewhere, and pray for the favor of God and stay there. Until go down to the Philistines' land out in the country. That's right. They may have been your enemies before, but they might help you now. And go ahead and hook up. Get yourself situated. There are people who have been living in their RV for years. If you are of retirement age, you don't need to try to hold on to that house. You've already raised your children. You've had wonderful Thanksgivings and wonderful Christmases. And God has blessed you with all of those memories. Get into a motorhome or a travel trailer or a fifth wheel. Pay for everything cash. And put the rest of the money in the bank. To do what? To pay the little fee that you need to pay to live where you're going to live at. Because see, just because you get an RV or a motorhome does not mean you got to travel all over the world. It's very convenient for you. And if it's just you and your wife, or just you and a few children, that's right, a family can live in a motorhome as well. In the words of my dad who's in heaven, it may be tight, but is right, particularly in a situation like this. Okay, instead of you're paying $3,000, $4,000 a month to live in your mansion on Pork Chop Hill, you pay maybe $400 a month with everything included. You understand? That includes water, cable, internet, all of that together, and you're paying all kinds of money, all kinds of bills, numerous bills a month. You get into a good place, you don't have to do that. And the only other bill you have to pay is your little land fee and your electricity bill, and that's not going to be that much. If you can't buy a new one, buy a used one, but make sure it's in good shape. Have somebody, hire somebody to check it out. Your fourth alternative. You say, "Well, I never thought I would. I never." I'm trying to help you. Just because you never does not mean you better not do it. You better do this. Get out of the mess you're in before. See, you don't want a situation where they foreclose on you or they evict you. That's going to set you up in a bad way going forward. Voluntarily, if you can't see the light of day months ahead of time, voluntarily, you should have done this already. I've been talking about this since March. I've been telling people this since March. You should have done this already, but that's not how we do in America. We think that, you know, this is the American way is going to survive, and we're going to be this and that, and everything's going to work out fine. Surely our government will take care of us and all of this foolishness. And that's not happening. You hear me? Look me deeply into my eyes. I'm trying to help you. That's not happening. The cavalry is not coming. It does not, listen to me, it does not matter whether Trump wins or Biden wins. You're going to catch hell while they live in the White House and have security. You're going to catch hell. So get rid of these pipe dreams and this foolishness. The next 4 years, I don't care who the president is, it's going to be hellacious, people. And so you need to get into something that you can afford, that preferably you can pay for, or that at least you can handle from a little side business that you got going on online. Some of you got businesses online that paying you, you know, bringing in $400, $500, $600 a month through Google Ads if you are smart. Were smart enough to buy build a blog. You got two or three sites, and Google pays you, and Google pays on time, like clockwork. Some of you got stuff going on with Amazon. They pay you on time. You can say you can sue Google. You could do whatever you want to Google and Amazon, all you want to. But they're the best employers out there right now, or at least the best payers. Okay, some of you got stuff going on like that you can pay $500, $400, $450 a month for something. Okay, that's almost guaranteed as long as you do your job, you do your business. That's what you need to be focusing on. As far as if you have to pay out every month, pay that. But don't be trying to pay no $3,000-$4,000. No big fine house on Pork Chop Hill, my friend. You need to get out of that house hoping that the cavalry is going to come. The cavalry is not coming. You hear me? Pelosi is not going to ride on a horse and come help you. Go. Pelosi is going to go to her mansion out in San Francisco, and you're going to be out on the street. If you don't start trusting in God and praying and using your brain and following your own instincts that God has given to you. You can buy tiny houses from tinyheirloom.com. Tiny Heirloom is a national industry-leading tiny home builder with tiny houses that are built with love for any budget. I'm giving you four alternatives. You need to take one of them and run. And I mean that. You need to take one of them and run, man. Get out of that. Get out of all of that. All that pressure. And if you do it on your own early, the people will be more favorable to you and they will help you. And if you have been a good payer, you can sign some kind of agreement that if things blow over, they'll be the first ones to call you. Okay? As you know, since March, I have told you I would help you with the home family life. That means the home family life where the husband and the wife and the children are at home all day long, doing everything that needs to be done, together or separately, whatever the case, and how to deal with that. And I've been dealing with that and helping you with that since then, especially with the how to standing between the living and the dead services, one and two each day, with an emphasis on prayer and family devotions. I told you that I would help you with, back in March, the home church experience, which is a real and wonderful and powerful experience. Everybody knows this. Everybody. People who have worshipped at home, they have had a greater experience at home, in many cases, than they have had in the church building. And I'm big on going to the church house. I do believe something special happens at the church house, but something special happens wherever people meet with Jesus. And so many pastors have had wonderful services. In fact, Joel Osteen said that he and his church, they experienced huge growth during the time of the plague pandemic. And so I share that with you down through the months. And I have dealt with the home business. If you don't have a home business, this is a good time to get one. This is a good time to get one. And then I told you that I would help you with the homeschooling situation, as my wife and I homeschooled our children from the time they were born all the way through college. And it's one of the best things that we have ever done. So let me share with you briefly some ideas and thoughts regarding homeschooling, because that's what most of you are doing, like I told you. And by the way, we've had some homeschool failures. Tragically, one is tragic, one is almost tragic. Understand that little eye on that computer can see you. I don't know what a mother walking behind her son naked, I don't know how that could happen in the first place anyway, even without live school going on. But that happened, so understand that eye, that little camera, can see you walking behind your son naked. Don't do that. That is wickedness. And then, I don't know how this happened, but it happened, and it's so sad, I don't even want to say it. But while a child was learning in live school, somebody, a family member, raped the child. And the teacher and the other students, in horror, saw it. So people don't become a homeschool failure. Make sure everybody is safe and secure. And do things the right way. Notice with me, switched on Schoolhouse Review from the homeschoolingmom.com. If you don't have her website, you don't have anything. So get her website and she can help you. Switched on Homeschool Schoolhouse is a comprehensive Bible-based curriculum that offers computer-based learning for grades 3 through 12 with 3D animation, video clips, and other fascinating multimedia. Switched on Schoolhouse is the perfect school homeschool curriculum for today's generation. With this flexible best-selling curriculum, you can customize student learning to fit individual educational needs. The Freedom of Flexible Learning, Part 5, How Can I Create a Flexible Learning Environment for My Student? Number 4, Enjoy a Change of Scenery. Homeschooling allows students to take advantage of flexible learning spaces, whether that is sitting at the kitchen table with a snack, relaxing in a beanbag chair, lying on the sofa with a cozy blanket and a fire in the fireplace, or stretching out in a lawn chair outside on a nice day. I think they're going just a little bit too far there, but anyway, homeschooling also gives you the freedom to take your work anywhere you go, take advantage of the opportunity to travel and explore different physical spaces. Even if you stick close to home, you can enjoy visiting the library or working in a nearby park. And I think that we're going to leave it there and pick it up next time. We have 2 more points, and that's okay. We'll share that next time with you. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you so much for this wonderful time that we have spent together since March. Lord, thank you for leading me to do it and helping me to do it to help people repent, confess their sins, get their hearts right with you, to help people to make solid decisions, to help people and to warn people not to follow happy talk politicians and happy talk pastors and happy talk leaders, but to stay focused on you and to follow what you tell them, and to follow the instincts that you give them to protect themselves and from this and their family from this misery that so many people have suffered from. And just the knowledge of having it is tormenting. Some people are still being tormented after having it and saying that they are free of it. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, and for the comfort of those who are grieving so badly today. Lord, glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save that soul that is near as hell. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, if you are here with us, even if you're in the church today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, please understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please understand that because of your sins, you deserve punishment in hell. We all do, because we have sinned against God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sin, our sinful nature. our sinful choices. Our bodies go to a grave, our soul departs and goes to eternal death in the torments of hell, according to Jesus Christ. And so right now, if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on the road to hell. And hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ described hell in one of his many sermons on hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. As a place in another sermon on hell, he said, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hell is an awful place. Jesus Christ preached on hell more than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, and any writer in the Bible. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell. Hell is so bad, he preached more on hell and warned about hell more than he preached on heaven. So hell is bad news, according to Jesus Christ. But I have some good news for you from Jesus Christ. When he said the most wonderful words ever spoken on earth in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The phrase, "for God so loved the world," means that if you are in this world, dear friend, God loves you, no matter what you have done. The next phrase, "that he gave his only begotten Son," refers to Jesus Christ. He is God's Son who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine, and he was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. And Jesus wants you to believe in him. Our next phrase tells us that whosoever believeth in him. The word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Rich and poor, educated and uneducated, popular, unpopular, from the president to the pauper, the phrase "believeth in him" means to simply trust in him, to depend upon him, to rely on him, or to have faith in him for your salvation. That's all it means. It does not mean joining a church. It does not mean raising your right hand. It does not mean walking down the aisle in front of a crowd of hundreds. It does not mean giving any money to the church or shaking the preacher's hand or doing any good works. It means to simply believe in Jesus Christ, to have faith in him, to trust him for your soul's salvation. And our next phrase, "should not perish," refers to eternal punishment in a place called hell. You can avoid that. You can avoid going to hell by believing in Jesus Christ. And lastly, the phrase, "but have everlasting life," means to live forever in heaven with God. You can have that if you want it by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, for all power is in his name and in himself and in his hands. The Holy Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth of the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, simply believe in your heart, in Jesus Christ. Call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt, was buried, and rose on the third day. Let's pray. Holy Father God, repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have sinned against you. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before, regardless of the value. I have lusted in my heart after people and things before. I have at times dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I have dishonored your name by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For Lord, if I just broke one of those, I have broken all of your Ten Commandments according to your word. And I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I believe in you, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins, to turn from my evil ways, and to change. And Lord Jesus, help me to follow you in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have, in fact, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email that to us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.